It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't think about going for it. You know, you just fourth and three. If you don't get it, you're in field goal range. You know, so I think punting is probably what most people would do there.
No.
Whoa.
I don't know that most people would punt there. Talking about that punt, 803-0550, posted a Twitter poll. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Tuesday. It's nice out today.
Yeah, 70s.
70s today. 70s pretty much all week. Lows in the 50s. Elite season. It's the elite season, folks. Welcome. So I posted a poll. Same situation for the Ravens that they had on their fourth and three final possession. They're up two, fourth and three, their own 38. What do you think the Bills would have done? Would they go for it or would they punt? And I will make the case on each side here. Do you think they'd go for it? Do you think they'd punt? Last year in the opener, the score is different, so the score effects are different. Last year in the opener, the Bills kicked a field goal on a fourth and three.
Yeah.
And McDermott said in that scenario, you know, three is not the same as one or two, fourth and three. He made a point to point out that 3 yards was a difference. And they kicked the field goal, and the defense held, and they won the game. And this is fourth and three. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there have been years and years and years of the Bills aren't exactly the most aggressive, but they are by the book when the book says you lose or gain 1 point of win probability.
Mm-hmm.
The number of times you make a mistake and punt when you're losing the – and this was by some math models. ESPN had it, I think I saw Bill Barnwell's, has it at almost 6 percentage points that Baltimore gave up by punting.
Yeah.
A 6% drop in win probability. McDermott does not make that mistake. They do not punt when they – this is a minus six for you. The Bills don't punt on a minus six. And that's years and years and years of evidence. So I'm not sure. People could say, well, the defense has been a disaster. That doesn't even really matter for these. I don't think McDermott punts because he does not give up 6 points of win probability really ever.
It's tough. Like, I'm pretty much with you. I think McDermott would probably make the decision, I mean, of course, based on who his quarterback is and his ability to get a couple of yards, even if the play doesn't work. But also, what are the odds I'm stopping this team? Well, how's it been going today? They've got 40 on me at this point. I'm not giving him the ball back. I think, especially the way the offenses were playing, you put that ball in your own quarterback's hands. You let him dictate how this game is going to go. So I would predict that McDermott would absolutely go for that. Harbaugh is very back and forth on stuff like that. McDermott's pretty consistent at this point. You get your odd here and there mistake on those types of decisions. Harbaugh sometimes is ultra aggressive in those moments, and sometimes he is as conservative as any coach in the league. It's very back and forth. The variance in his decision-making on that is a lot more gut. Like, I don't know that he has an analytics guy telling him what to do as much as when you see him be aggressive, it's just because that's how he is. But when you're not going by data or you don't have, like, a certain process and you just are going by your gut, which seems like what he's doing, you'll get a decision like that where it's fourth and three, and what am I doing? I'm putting my former MVP quarterback on the sidelines that's the most elusive quarterback in NFL history?
Right.
Thank you. I'll take it if I'm the opponent every time.
On Bill Barnwell's calculator here, we'll do a little bit of calculator math stuff. He has it if they go for it and fail,
yeah,
they're still 59% to win the game. They still
really?
Are. Yes. Yes.
At the 38.
With that much time left,
you'd be turning it over at that point. You know, I mean, it's a 56-yard field goal from where the Bills would be standing.
Mm-hmm.
With less than 2 minutes to go.
All three timeouts.
You've got all your timeouts.
All three timeouts. Still 59% chance to win the game if you don't get it. And if you do get it, right, you have won. So anyway, go for it was the call, and he didn't. The Bills had no timeouts. Baltimore had all three.
Right.
So the Bills would have had to operate their offense. It'll be interesting. That's one spot the Bills and Allen are really good. If they get the ball to 38 with no timeouts, would they be able to engineer an offense that is going to use the field, make Baltimore use all three timeouts? Then the Bills might have had to be a little more conservative, right? All right, we want 10 yards. We want 20 yards. We really like 30 yards. We'd also like to have them burn the timeouts in the process. Like, it changes the way the Bills are going to call the game. Whereas when you punt it, if you're Baltimore, the Bills are just thinking, all right, baby, like, rip it. Rip it down the field, whatever it takes. Who cares about their timeouts? This will be our last possession.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get it, who cares if they get the ball?
Right.
So anyway, 803-0550, that's the phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Fun with two-point conversions. I didn't even really dig into that.
How the Bills, like, ran them?
Well, just... if you go to Bill Barnwell's stats site, which is, if anybody cares about this stuff, you ever want to punch in like your team's fourth down stuff?
Yeah.
RBSDM.com.
Yep.
And you can dig into
a
bunch of stuff there.
That's pass for the pass run frequency stuff is there. Yep. And EPA stuff is there. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Neutral pass frequency, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
All that stuff is there. It's fun. Early down pass rate, EPA per play, you know. Or you could just do anything else with your life. Really anything else.
I'm thinking a lot about that hypothetical you brought about if the Bills had gotten the two-point conversion. Like, if Coleman catches the fade route.
If they get the two-point conversion, do they win? They probably don't win.
It's just the Ravens would have called it so differently. I really think they would. Like, they would have put the ball in Jackson's hands. What is that jet sweep to Zay Flowers?
They would have put the ball in Jackson's hands.
That play
does
not exist if they're tied.
They also might have just thrown three passes down the field to Zay Flowers. They might have.
Right.
Like, if it's a tie game and you kick to Lamar, how is that really any different than if Tyler Bass had made the kick against the Chiefs? All right, tie game. Now give it to that guy.
Right. You want the ball last. In the tie game.
In these games, yeah. It's like
if it's tied.
Yeah. 803-0550. Right now, the Bills, here's your number for you. Early down pass frequency.
Okay, through one game?
Through one game. The Bills are near the bottom in early down pass frequency. Now, part of that's because they kind of got out of it and the game was out of reach.
I wonder how much of it counts because it's like 20 to 80% win probability, and they spent a lot of that fourth quarter with less than 20%. It was 1%. Right. So
Baltimore, of course, was also way down in early down pass frequency because they were running for, 18 yards a clip.
Yeah.
What a game.
I do have to keep reminding myself. I've said it like once every other hour. Like, they won that game?
Yeah.
They won that game.
Crazy.
We're sure they won that game?
We are. I'm not sure they would have won the game if they made the two-point conversion, though.
So many things. Like, a game like that, so many the Kyle Hamilton field goal block and the Harbaugh decision, and how about Coleman running out of the back of the end zone? There's your 2-point conversion. Coleman runs out of the back of the end zone and back in, catches the 2-pointer. What's the score when that happens? Because if that happens, the Bills, they're not going for two after that, are they? That is going to be the touchdown right out of the gate in the third quarter. So 27-13, the Bills score to make it 27-19. That's the play where there's the offside and they go to the 1 yard line. Actually, that's what starts it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they just say, nah, we're good, we're just going to keep the 1 point? Again, like
everything's changed.
Because all the game management decisions are different.
Right,
after
Baltimore
that.
Might start going for two and all that, yeah. Steven in Florida. Hey, Steven, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I wanted to comment on both sides of the ball, the offense and the defense. First of all, phenomenal win for the Bills. That was just amazing. But You know, you were bringing out about earlier about this rating on defensive players, and I think it said that, you know, Oliver was, like, way up at the top there. I think he should be the defensive player of the week. But the big concern is what you said about, you know, you had Sanders and Williams. Now, they're rookies, okay, so we got to give them some space. They need to grow. And when I was watching, Jeremy, your Bill Squad show last week, and, you know, Jerry Ostrowski said, you got to let rookies learn. They got to play. They got to be able to make their mistakes. So, you know, that. But the other thing is with the linebackers, you know, Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard, the rating they had was right near the bottom. So the Bills' defense, you know, Babich and these guys, they need to find some way to step up, because you can't fault the secondary for what Henry did and Lamar, but especially Henry. It's up front. And I said coming into this game, it's going to be one in the trenches. And, you know, thankfully the Bills' offense was able to, you know, really step up and allow, you know, Josh to do what he did in the fourth quarter. But that's the other thing you guys talked about. None of this conservative stuff. We've got the best player in the league, the best quarterback. Let Josh be Josh, you know, and go full out like he did in the fourth quarter. But, you know, the defense, you know, that's been a concern. Last year we saw it, and then this year. So I hope the Bills can find a way to fix what we saw that was wrong in this game, because otherwise it's going to be a real struggle, especially when they go up against Philadelphia. That's my big concern.
Okay.
Thanks, Steven.
I just wonder what will be truly different. They'll have guys back. You'd hope the rookies play better than they did, right? Deion Walker didn't even play a ton. They really, I saw, they played with the four linemen, Bosa, Russo, Oliver, and Daquan Jones, all like over 68%, which if you're familiar with how McDermott's defenses typically rotate those positions, it's more than that. Like, guys don't usually play much more than 50%. And in this game, they went a little heavier with the four starters. Weren't rotating rookies in as much. Epinesa wasn't rotating in as much. I don't even know if I saw Epinesa in this game. I'm sure he played. But it was Rousseau, it was Bosa, it was Jones, and it was Oliver. And they were out there all the time. And maybe the next time you play them, you have seven guys you trust instead of four. One of the rookies, by the next time you might play them in a playoff game, has earned that, and Hoyt is available to you in Ogunjobi. And then, bam, you had four linemen that you maybe only trusted in the regular season game, and you get to seven by the time you play them in the playoffs. Just a thought. Like, I don't know what else could be different. We did see them stop Henry, in comparison to this game, in the playoff game, the last time they played them. And what was different then?
And they stopped.
Did they try to... I mean, they stopped him.
They stopped him from running all over them. Yeah,
He wasn't breaking off 30-yard runs like right. He was in this game. And what's different? I don't know. Hamlin was out there, but is that the difference? I can't imagine that was that critical.
It's a point to be made about offense and defense, and I've actually pulled up a game here where, you know, complimentary football. Maybe McDermott would appreciate this point, because I'm going to make a complimentary football point. The Bengals playoff game. What do you remember about that playoff game?
The snow, the dusting of snow. Their offense wasn't good. Defensive linemen got pushed around.
It goes touchdown Bengals.
Okay.
Bills, 3-and-out.
Okay, right. And then touchdown Bengals.
Touchdown
right?
Bengals.
Yeah, so it happened quick.
Bills, 3-and-out.
Okay.
That's kind of a little bit outside of the first possession where they get a good kick return, they get the Kincaid touchdown, Baltimore gets their field goal. You can't dig a hole unless your offense lets it happen. Sure, you're mad your defense is doing this, but you can always counterpunch. And in that game, the Bills didn't. The reason I'm pulling up this game is I'm looking up the punt that they had in this game. It's a 4th and 10 at the Cincinnati 41. Am I obsessed? Sure. Someone is trying to make a point that McDermott gave up, you know, all these win percentage points in other games. I'm going to put that Bengals 4th down punt in because, I want to see just how much they gave up. You know, the Bills are on offense, the Bengals are on defense, the time and all that. So this is my little class project as we get to some more phone calls here. Mike in Buffalo. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the reason.
Oh,
did we lose you, Mike?
All right, Mike, we're going to come. Hold on, Mike. We're going to come back to you in a moment. Brandon in Buffalo. We'll get back to Mike. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Good morning.
Morning.
Okay. I just really want to just basically talk about just one thing about how our defense. I know that was one hell of a game that they played. They were playing the Ravens, and the Ravens got a really good offense. But I think about our defense, and I think our offense is going to be good this year. I just think this year that our defense really need to step it up. And I really think that some of the players on defense, like Daquan Jones, don't need to be playing that much. I think we need to figure out something with him. I think we need to figure out something with our safety room. And when I say stuff like that, I'm just basically talking about the Bills fans have a very, very important role what goes on with the Bills Mafia. I think the louder we get and the more we complain and the more things that we say, I think we can have a big impact because the big thing with me is, and the real big thing in my heart is, I just don't want to waste Josh Allen's year, you know. You're seeing how good of a player he is, and I just don't want the Josh Allen era to just go by so quick, and then we go in the draft, and now we're looking for new quarterbacks. And I say that to say everything that I think our offense is going to stand good, and we're going to be good this year, but it's always every year is our problem is our defense. Something needs to be done with our defense, and this Jets game is going to be a good testament to that. It's going to be a good testament on our defense in the next couple of games. And if we still having problems with our defense by the time we go all the way into the bye week, I just think something needs to be done, man. I really do. I just don't want to waste Josh Allen era with him being so young. And that's all I wanted to say. And have a good day, guys. And thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. I mean, by the bye week, week seven, week eight. I mean, it's where, like, how much you want to take out of week one? They beat the Jets, and their defense looks stout. And then they do it again to Miami. That'll give you some confidence, but we all know what the defensive test is. It's doing it in January. And whether it's good or bad in the regular season, if they are 22nd in the league in defense this year, but they've got something cooked up for the playoffs that gives them a better result there, every single fan would sign up for that on the dotted line.
Yeah, and you know what it might be that you want to see for the next 16 weeks? Give me six games where an individual does what Ed Oliver does.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Like, hey, I got an Oliver game, then I had a Bosa game, then I had a Max Hairston performance,
sure,
then Bishop's breakout, and get me to a spot where, okay, you're going into the playoffs, and I think where you're ranked, fine. But I can look at 6 to 7 players where I'd say, well, you know what? You do have the horses that if you put it together, it'll come together and you can get what you need. Like the Eagles' defense last year in the Super Bowl, it was dominant. Mm-hmm. But they weren't dominant on the way to the playoffs.
I was just looking, like, what were the year that Cincinnati shut out Kansas City in the second half of the AFC Championship game?
What do they rank?
What were they defensively that year? I'm pulling it up right now because that's the...
You need a good half, not a good season.
Right?
Yeah.
They had a great half against the Chiefs, and it got them to the Super Bowl.
After a terrible first half.
And overtime was good, too. And I'm looking right now, by total yardage, where did they rank? They were 18th. But they had a huge half of football against Kansas City. And it's not to say, it kind of makes it sound like nothing matters defensively they do in the regular season. I do think it does because I think they need to get the one seed. But in terms of what it will look like when they play an AFC Championship game, I think they could, in that game, look a lot better than they would in a regular season game because we've seen it.
803-0550. We got time. We'll get back to Mike, see if Mike's in a better spot. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I'm in a better spot. I'm in downtown now. All right. My issue is the only problem with the defense is the safeties. They cannot tackle. Okay, I think Rapp is afraid to tackle because of the concussions he's had. Cole Bishop gets run all over. So what you said about Hamlin, no, he cannot cover over the middle, but he can tackle. And the other thing is, I think you're going to see Poyer. He doesn't have the speed that he used to have, but he can tackle. And if we have to play a player that is a bell cow like Henry is, then we need to have two safeties that can tackle. Because if we did, he would not have got through those. He would not have had that yardage. He would not have. If you go back and look at those runs, the people that were trying to make the tackles right after he broke the line of scrimmage were safeties, and they got bounced over like a basketball. So that's the problem.
Well, yeah, there are two. One play where Bishop's coming from a terrible angle. He can't get there. I mean, I feel like there's bigger problems than actually Bishop on that play than tackling Henry. The Rapp one, I don't think Rapp is afraid to hit at all.
Isn't he too much the opposite sometimes?
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, like Rapp throws himself all over the place, and sure, he's had concussion issues, but like I don't agree with that. I just think he took a terrible angle and got toasted on that play.
There is another play I saw where he tried to hit Henry instead of wrapping him, and he bounced, like Henry didn't even flinch. Off an elephant's butt. Like,
at some point,
made no effect.
It's a lot like saying a defensive end is not strong enough because they didn't bring down Josh Allen. Like, that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Right. Like part of the point of whenever you play a bell cow like Derrick Henry, it could look like that. Who's that exactly? Other than this guy?
Yeah.
The Chiefs don't have that guy. The Bengals don't have that guy. Like these teams have good running backs.
This player has,
but not some, giant,
he's a monster.
Monster that you're afraid of tackling.
Not only do no teams have this guy, the league hasn't had this guy.
No.
Since Earl Campbell?
Earl Campbell is what I hear a lot compared to him. Is it possible he's the greatest running back ever?
Yes.
I always ask this with running backs. Like,
is it possible?
None of these guys ever get the workloads that they used to in the 80s. I mean, this guy maybe does.
I've
asked for, if we drop the best running back of all time in front of our faces in this year, would we even know it because of the way the league is?
The way to ask this question for quarterback almost always turns to, all right, one game to win, who do you want? Who's the running back you want?
All time.
You got one game to win. It's the Monstars are here, and we got to field the team of NFL players to save Earth.
Right.
Who's the running back you want?
Listen, I know I'm biased because he's the only one of the all-time great, great Mount Rushmore guys that I've watched, but he's doing it in this era, which is mostly built through the quarterbacks, like Henry. Give me Derrick
Henry.
There's
an argument to be made that that might help Henry.
What?
That the quarterback, he plays with the mobile quarterback. A mobile quarterback helps the run game because if you're playing...
Yeah, but he didn't for most of his career.
No, I know, but I'm saying what you're seeing from him now is getting more out of him because of that. So the era where running backs are getting mobile quarterbacks on the same field with them and the same time, that does help the backs.
Sure. He did have 2,000 yards with Ryan Tannehill as
That's
quarterback.
Right.
Which is pretty
Who would
impressive.
You take? Would you take Derrick Henry?
He's been the one seed.
Yes.
Like, the one seed, the part of the reason the Bills haven't had it is there was a year in there where the Tennessee Titans got it. And who was the culprit of that? This guy.
Yeah.
I think that actually probably was the year he had 2,000 yards.
We'll get a break in 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Progressive meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that since he basically told you your face that you didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him, Leo?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers. Moments ago from Sports Business Journal, the Bills and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment will soon announce a marketing relationship in Toronto.
The partnership marks the NFL team's most concerted effort to grow its Canadian fan base since its regular season game in 2013.
I've been wondering about this ever since Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Josie Altidore all bought into the Bills.
So in Sports Business Journal, Ben Fisher, will try to track him down maybe this week. He writes, it's the culmination of lengthy strategic planning inside the Bills organization to more fully develop Southern Ontario. Pete Welly said, it's the second largest media market in North America, part of our home territory. There are reasons to put those two together. We think we've transcended Buffalo with the quality of football we play.
Not surprising at all.
No.
Not surprising at all. Just hope it doesn't come with a game there, and I'm good. They want a preseason game even. Don't touch my regular season.
I would wonder about that just because, listen, can we have a game? Yeah, we have this old hole in the ground stadium. Hey, can we have a game? Sorry, we just built a palace.
Yeah, right. No, they're not getting a real game.
No, there's no announced plans to bring games back to Toronto.
Yeah. So hopefully, I wouldn't worry about that. Right, like they're not taking any game away from a stadium they just built with all that money.
Not even preseason.
Well, preseason. Go ahead.
I mean, preseason. Listen, preseason is about to be the place where people that can't get to a regular season game can maybe get to.
In the first year or two. Well, fifth year of the new stadium, if they want a preseason game, I'm like, whatever.
I will not give it to them. I say no.
Really?
Hard no. No.
That would be kids' day you'd be taken away.
Right.
I mean, I'm good just eliminating the preseason altogether. So
I might need it for fans to be able to get to that game. 803-0550.
What about the return of the blue and red? You got that. That's a better event to go to than the preseason game anyway.
Well, you can't put that in Toronto because then they're not returning.
No, I'm not saying that.
I know. It's going away of the blue and red.
That's your way of getting into the stadium. If you don't want to spend however much money on tickets, you could do that.
That's right. Nate in Silver Creek is next up. I have a golf story for you. Go ahead, Nate.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning. I was wondering, do you guys think it's the defensive coordinator? Is it execution by the defense, or do you think it's just bad coordination setting these guys up for failure? Because it seems like we have a pretty good template on what's going on. Last year, the defense was bad, and I feel like you have two all-pro or, you know, all-pro caliber linebackers that should be making plays, but they don't seem to be set up properly. Granted, I know we played Derrick Henry, and you know, he's mass type velocity, and it hurts to hit him. But I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. Thanks.
I think it's talent.
Yeah,
like I think it's on the defensive side. It's Jimmys and Joes. Who do the Bills have that is great on the defensive side? Benford, Oliver has been and can be. Maybe he's on his way to a great season. After Oliver, you'd go to Milano.
Mm-hmm.
After Milano, you'd say,
none of these guys are like the offense. They have a bad day on offense. They have a Superman
who can save them.
Who can save them? Who can wreck a game? And on the defensive side of the football, like there are defenses like this in the league where this is Cincinnati. Sometimes Cincinnati's defense stinks, and once in a while. They got a Superman over there, Trey Hendrickson, that will have a game-changing type of play. And the Bills' defense has a lot of decent players. You mentioned Bernard and Milano. I think they are good linebackers. Milano used to be this, but right now, those are not two All-Pro linebackers.
No,
and they're Bernard, definitely not.
They both work well in this defense for what they do, but they would. Especially for Bernard.
Yeah, like, but borderline Pro Bowl level linebackers at their best, I would say, at this point. Would be a good outcome. But they're not guys that are going to be in the conversation with Fred Warner as like, oh, these are the best linebackers in football. They're not that.
And at safety, the Bills are
maybe the worst in the league.
They were pretty bad last year, and they brought everybody back, and it's kind of hinging on Cole Bishop. And again, it's supposed to be some of its parts.
But like Sunday was a little bit of this. Sunday was a little bit of, you looked like the Bengals defense all day, and oh, look, a guy stepped up, and he was Superman on that day. Ed Oliver was that. But you want to count on Ed Oliver being that week to week to week to week? Because he hasn't been that in his career. I mean, obviously, if he looks like he did on Sunday, he's going to be first-team All-Pro. He'll be a first-team All-Pro if he looks like that.
Yeah. Like, Bernard's a good example here. And whenever in doubt, I would always say you can do this. Where does this guy rank in terms of what they're paid? And Bernard is half the price of the best linebacker in football.
Right, what is it, $8 million? $7 million?
His AAV is 10.
10.
Fred Warner makes 21.
Yep.
Like, how good is this player? Check what he just signed an extension with his own team. Mm-hmm. You want to say it's a discount? Like, Bernard's a really good player. He's a captain on this team. He's super important. And I'm not about to blame him. It's just against Baltimore, that might be a matchup issue. Their linebackers. Taron Johnson has long been very, very good to great. And, you know, against Baltimore, people wonder about matchup issues. Their defensive line, they're constantly chasing edge. And against other teams, maybe you'll see those returns. So I think it's a combination of injuries, still coming together, not sure if they have the Jimmys and Joes on that side of the ball. It's why they drafted a bunch. It's why they signed a bunch. Suspensions, and Lamar and Derrick Henry. Like, I got a perfect storm for my defense looks terrible. And give it a couple of weeks, and maybe only check off three of those boxes, like this week. Okay, no Lamar and no Derrick Henry. Now I'm down to four things. Okay, No, I'm not getting suspended players back. Am I getting Trey White back? That's one small boost, maybe. But Dorian Strong wasn't exactly a problem.
No, he wasn't. Also, keep in mind, the Bills will get some. If they played the Ravens in January, you might expect that they'll have some pieces that are back. Say there are no more added injuries. Bills might get Ogunjobi back. They might get Michael Hoyt back. The Ravens are going to get Isaiah Likely and Pat Ricard back.
Yeah, which might be.
They were missing pieces,
tougher.
Too.
Thanks for the phone call. 803-0550. Played golf yesterday. You guys played golf yesterday.
We did. Owen won a long drive contest.
Look at this. Look at all the
longest drive. Like, it wasn't like everyone at the range, like, who can hit the ball the first. He hit on 18. Was it 300?
It was close. It was up.
Might
the
have
hill.
Been 300.
It's up. That's uphill. You guys were at CCB.
If it was a flat shot, it would have been 300.
Yeah, that's uphill the whole way. That's a monster.
It was almost. It was like within yards of 300 though.
How far past the stake that was in the ground?
20 yards. 30.
That's always a good.
Not even close. We knew it from the tee.
It's a good feeling to see. Like, not only are you long drive, but you have to walk back. Like, oh, look at this.
Right.
Look at the gap here.
Yeah, it felt pretty good. It is a highlight of my golfing career so far.
Nice.
I was hitting the ball well yesterday.
Yeah. I played in Syracuse yesterday. My buddy Scott and I, we won the member guest at Transit Valley and got invited to play. Yep. At Turning Stone's Shenandoah course yesterday for the New York State Vegas Golf Series Regional Final, where if you win, you get invited to play in Vegas.
Was this like a Pro Bowl for all the member guest winners across the state?
Kinda.
Huh, interesting.
Kinda. And you didn't get invited? Anyway. Sorry. Listen, this course.
God, I gotta win one of these things, man.
I know.
This course.
We need it.
This course was. You know how, put it this way, this course was like trying to tackle Derrick Henry. You know,
impossible.
There are running backs, and then there's Derrick Henry. There are, we play golf, guys, right? All of us, we play golf. You hit the ball, it goes over there. Like, oh, I missed the fairway by 15 yards. I'll just punch out from under a tree. I got a 4-iron up to the front of the green. I'll be okay. No, this was tournament conditions, and it's one of these courses that has like heather and fescue everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And none of it is a lateral hazard. None of it's red staked. So every time you would hit a ball and think, that might have crept in by a foot, you are hitting a provisional and you are hitting again. Every time. If you found your ball, you couldn't hit it. It wasn't just like knee-high fescue. Everywhere, these are thick bushes.
Yeah.
Jungle. So, hey, here's my approach from.
You need a machete to get through it.
Here's your approach from 180. You hit the back of the green, hard bounce, gone. Hit again.
That is nightmare.
It was challenging.
Yikes.
I've never felt more like a golf course was reaching up and punching me in the face.
Yeah.
Right? It was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
It was great. It was still great to play. But, man, that was actual, you play golf, cute, play this course.
Right.
Poof.
Yeah.
Punch.
Other world.
This is how I felt when I played Bethpage, although there wasn't out of bounds like that.
It's just the rough and the
It was
elevation.
The rough. Like, you would find your ball, you would hit it, and then you would feel like you're getting punched in the face. But I'm not having to –
Yeah.
I'm not having to hit provisionals and walking back to my ball to hit, like, to read. Like, I wasn't having to do that.
Yeah. This was, oh, you hooked your drive a little bit left, tee it up again. Oh, you hooked another one a little bit left, tee it up again.
Yeah.
Can I just go to the next hole, please?
I would get stuck in a cycle of snap hook to slice to snap hook to slice, and it would be a bad scene.
And you'd get to a spot where, you know, we're playing two men best ball or better ball, and like, well, I'm out on this hole, and then your partner hits another one, and they're like, oh no, I got to scramble for triple.
Right.
Oh, man. It was great. Good time. Golf. You got any long drives this year, Joe? I mean, Owen's got a long drive. I got a long drive this year. You got a long drive?
I got nothing on the board.
Nothing.
Nothing. I got a Ryder Cup style tournament coming up at Tri-County this weekend.
I was just gonna say, you got to go compete for your Ryder Cup.
Half the people will win that one. So,
okay.
You'll have
Here's the hoping. I've got a 50-50 shot. This is the best chance I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Team golf.
Believe in you.
I want to scramble. Like a friend's scramble, 15 people, nothing like crazy.
So we were third yesterday.
We had a shot. We had a couple lipped out putts.
I lipped out three myself.
Yeah, it
was very close.
I feel like there's a $1 million industry in selling shirts that just say like, I almost want to scramble.
Yeah.
Couple more putts, we were gonna be there.
Couple more putts.
Oh man, you know we were. What'd you guys shoot? 12. Man, we really should have been 14.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Which really should have made more putts.
Yep.
That's everybody's life in scrambles. Well, nice. Good showing. Yeah. Dustin Wolf, massive contract extension in Calgary.
It's a big number for him for a long time for not a lot of experience.
They showed something on ESPN just now that I tweeted about over the weekend at you that you want to talk about in extendo sports or really quick here. I'm out on the Syracuse head coach for football.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this jerk? He thinks he's Herb Brooks making his team run sprints after winning a football game? Imagine McDermott did that on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, you're running. Line up at the 50. I don't care that we won. That was a pathetic. Run to the goal line and then run back. And then I'll tell you again.
He did. He had his team run sprints after they.
In front of the fans.
As they beat UConn in overtime.
In front of the fans.
The fans get to see their favorite
he
players.
He thinks he's Herb Brooks?
Yeah.
That's not really seeing your favorite player. You're seeing your favorite players get punished.
I'm seeing my favorite player run.
After they won a football game.
In uniform.
Nuts.
Pro Football Talk says there's chatter the Steelers could trade for Tyreek Hill.
Okay, it's been 1 year since he had a 30-yard reception. He was yelling on the sidelines about something on week one.
Also,
very tumultuous
a suspension
offseason.
Is still on the table for Jalen Carter at Pro Football Talk as well.
I think he's getting suspended.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. The league has an opportunity here to say, like, we're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. Forget fines. Like, you're suspended if you spit.
Right.
Yep. All right, Extendo Sports, and then we close things out, hand off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Saw a stat on Caleb Williams this morning that over the last year plus 1 week, Caleb Williams, according to True Media, leads NFL quarterbacks with 52 incompletions due to an overthrow. That is 17 more than the next highest, and he had 5 last night. I think it's because he just throws the ball too hard.
Yep.
He tries to throw the ball as hard as any quarterback I've ever seen. And, like, there was an Adunze pass last night that is incredible when it works.
Yeah, on the run.
It was like a fastball. It looked like it was 90 miles an hour.
You know what he is? He's great when he's, and this is, you know, baseball comparisons, but that's what a lot of these quarterbacks do with the platforms of their throws. Caleb Williams is great when he's the shortstop moving to his left and has to gun it to first base. That's his best throw.
Yeah. That's definitely right.
He does that really well. Even across his body, he does that really well.
Right.
Anyway.
Bo Nix and Mahomes are the next two after that, by the way. Every Mahomes overthrow, I bet, is on a deep ball.
Yeah. On television right now, who would go first in a redraft? J.J. McCarthy or Caleb Williams? Answer, Jaden Daniels. Right?
Are they?
I know.
Yeah.
Saying,
okay. Yeah.
Who
yeah.
of these two?
But you're right. Yes.
Who would go
the
first?
Answer in a runaway is Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, and then maybe Drake May,
and then Bo Nix,
and then Bo Nix. So who would
they
go,
be 4 and 5?
It might be 4 and 5. Maybe. Who would go first though? Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy? Which of those two?
I'd take Caleb Williams. The incompletion stat being said, he takes a lot of sacks. I still can't believe him. The Thanksgiving thing last year, I thought was him. Yeah, right. I would take Caleb Williams.
We got to go. We're back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks for calling, texting, tweeting, listening, and streaming. Cheers.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.